feeling? Good. You?
We're trying to do a very special intro. Okay. Hey, man.
Hey.
So do you have any anything? Anything happened last week?
No.
No.
You.
Well, I mean, the stuff happened, but it's the worst intro. This is awful. All right. We're not putting this in the show.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. Hi, nice to see you. That was us recorded.
Yes, that was.
That was awful.
Yeah, it was very avant-garde, I would say. It's like a recording of a recording.
See, my thought was that we would do a very clever, like, sort of bantery thing, and it would set up the mood for the episode.
See, the minute you thought of thought the word clever,
yeah,
as pertaining to our show,
right.
That's where you went wrong, my friend.
Well, I mean, once in a time, we have said clever things on the show before. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to say something clever.
Oh, true.
But you mean it came up organically.
Right.
All
right,
so let's be organic.
Organic.
All right, so now let's do dry statistics. It's summertime.
Dry statistics, love it. Summertime, okay.
Haven't gotten laid in a while.
Right, me neither.
It's summertime. I would say this is July.
Today is July
12th. No,
12th. Yes,
12th, which is before the 13th.
Right, that's mathematics. Yes.
I would say it's also after Independence Day. We passed that.
Right.
And I would say that we are in the thick of it. The thick of the summer. Like, this is the almost the height of the summer.
Right. You got my birthday next week.
Ooh. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, all right. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
Everybody, I know a lot of people that are having birthdays. I mean, not that you're not special, but
right.
I just know a lot of people that are having birthdays, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Judy Fertel had a birthday today.
I know that is.
As a girl I had a crush on once.
Okay.
A lot of people. So are you, I know you that your birthdays are never that exciting.
Nah, right.
So I assume it's not going to be exciting this year.
But I am taking off that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Granted, I have Saturday off anyway, but Sunday I'm also taking off from my delivery job, so.
Oh, you're not going to,
I'm having like a nice 4-day weekend there.
Yeah, without any plans.
Actually, no, I am planning to go see Oppenheimer in IMAX.
Okay, what's the deal? What's the deal? I sound like Seinfeld. What's the deal with people seeing Oppenheimer and Barbie at the same time?
It's a huge, like, marketing thing.
But what? I don't even get it. What's the deal?
Well, I think I think it's a marketing push to get people in the theaters because right. They're really, like, hurting now.
Right.
But I think it's also, it's kind of funny because it's like you have two distinctly different movies coming out the same day, so it's like
couldn't be more different.
Exactly. So it's like I think it was actually pretty clever because it's like why not do a double feature of like
well movies nowadays are like 3 hours long.
Oppenheimer is.
Oh really?
Yeah. I can't imagine Barbie three being.
I can't. Though. I can't believe Barbie's more than 5 minutes long. I mean, what what the hell is going to be the content of Barbie?
I'm actually almost.
I do like Margot Rabbit.
Yeah, she's good.
Margot Rabbit. Robbie?
Yeah.
She's hot.
Oh, yeah.
She's hot. But what's going to be this plot of Barbie?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's... I think that... Have you seen the trailer?
Actually, I don't think I've seen the trailer for it.
I mean...
I've just seen, like, images of it, and it's...
I mean, is it supposed to be good?
I've heard good things, but...
I know. I mean, she's usually in good stuff. It would be a miracle if that was a good movie.
Yeah. I suppose it could be, depending on how they approach it.
Right. Like, remember when they did the Brady Bunch movie?
Oh, yeah. They were good
because they made it sort of
They took, like, them from sarcastic. The 70s into the 90s.
But they also made the tone, like, they made fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and the stupid series, they didn't make, it was for real.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess Barbie would only work if they made fun of the concept of
Barbie. I think so, yeah.
Like, maybe Barbie is, like, slutty, she has a lot of sex or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd go see that.
Right.
And Oppenheimer, I don't know. It's what, Matt Damon?
Matt Damon's in it. Cillian Murphy plays Robert Oppenheimer.
Who's Cillian Murphy?
Cillian Murphy's an English actor. He's often in like Christopher Nolan's movies.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't.
He was the lead in that Netflix show Peaky Blinders.
Oh, never saw that.
I saw like the first season and a half. Then I was like, well, I'm like, you know what? This probably isn't going to become any more innovative than it already is. So I think I'm done.
Right. But are you going to see both of the movies at the same day?
Oh, no. I'm seeing Oppenheimer.
Right.
And then I'm not even sure if I'm even going to go see Barbie in general.
Yeah, I know.
I'd have to like really be in the mood.
I will see it, but I won't tell people that I saw it.
Right.
Like, it's kind of embarrassing to go alone and eat popcorn and see Barbie.
Right.
It could be almost creepy, like I'm an old... Oh, by the way, today I already had a very embarrassing moment today.
Oh, nice.
I went to my exercise class.
Oh, yeah.
And she was mad at me because I haven't showed up. You know, yesterday I had to work early, so she hasn't seen me in a week because I was away for a week in upstate New York. So I go to the class, and she's already, like, yelling at me for being, you know. And so I was trying, and I'm scared of her. She yells at me a lot. she's always making an example out of me and kind of bullying me, really.
Yeah.
I kind of like it because I get attention, but it's also, like...
I think also one thing if you're like sleeping with her too.
No. She has the most grating voice.
Oh yeah.
And she screams. She like, you know, five more. You know, she's like really like the worst voice. Like I could never sleep. And she's also kind of crazy. Like I could never. But I mean, she's a lovely person. So anyway, so after the class, you know, she goes home and she puts clips. She tapes us. Because I don't know why. Because she has like a thing to, I guess, make her business bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she puts me, like, you know, usually this clips of me and I hate to look at myself. I look like a grunting hippopotamus, you know? you know, and she always puts the most unflattering position. So anyway, but I was trying to be on her good side today. So when I usually never comment, but on Facebook, we have like a private group.
Yeah.
So I commented and I said, she said something about like, it was the 5:15, I did a 5:15 class today, very early.
Shit.
So then she said, you know, our 5:15 class today. So I made a comment and I said, the sexiest class ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot that we had a 15-year-old girl in the class.
Oh my God.
And you know, but she's usually not there. And her mom, it's okay. I mean, it's not, it's a little mishap, you know? Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah.
You know, and so she kind of sent me a private message. And she reprimanded me. And I said, I was trying to say something good about the class. See, everything I do just doesn't work, you know. But I mean, I don't think I'm going to go to jail or anything. I'm just saying it was sometimes in life you have moments that you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not something you go to jail over.
No. I mean,
if you messaged the 15-year-old girl directly,
that'd be bad.
That'd be very, very bad.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting you know, I was in upstate New York and I kept getting some weird messages from people up there.
Oh!
Because I guess my dating apps transfer.
Oh shit.
Because you could change the location. But, you know, I got just really strange ones. There's one woman over here, actually. I don't understand this. Her name is, well, whatever. And she lives close by in Hillsboro.
Like, okay.
It's very close. And she seems attractive. And she seems semi okay, but the frequency of the is lacking.
Oh, okay.
Like I'll hear from her every 3 weeks.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I kind of gave up on her, but like this morning I heard from her, and she's like, so we've had like three sentences so far in the last month.
Yeah,
it's not going well.
Yeah, I would say
not. We're not getting married anytime soon.
No.
But she said something like, you know, hey, oh, I love theater. Like, you know, I'm like, great, me too. And, you know, and then nothing for like 3 weeks. And I said, well, and then she said something. I said, well, I'm going upstate New York for a week, so I won't have reception. But so then nothing. And then this morning at 6, I was up at, you know, 6 a.m. or no, I was up 4:30 a.m. I get a message from her. She goes, oh, so you're back from upstate New York? So she paid attention. She knew where I was. So I immediately said, yes, it was, you know, family time, but I'm back. Nothing after that. I mean, like, why Why?
I don't know, man. It's really, I just don't know.
She made the effort to make a remark. She asked me a question. I answered it.
Yeah.
And nothing. It's unbelievable. It's really, it's almost like
fucking believable, man.
It's not fucking believable. Yeah, so I was away. Did I miss anything during the last week?
Nah.
As you can tell, I'm burnt.
Yeah, so regale us with the Lake Luzerne. You mentioned something about Ginny.
Oh, Ginny. Okay, so the time with, you know, the problem with Luzerne is a lot of family time. And this particular week was, you know, tinged with sadness because there was tinged. That's a good name for the episode. You know, we had one day.
That
we
fucking drive.
We have a little community house. It's like a lake and a bridge and houses, and then this community house where my grandparents used to square dance and people. You know, it's this little building. You know, so one day we had like a. You know, I arrived on the Saturday and then I got there. You know, a day before because. We were going to do this thing for Bobby, my uncle.
Right.
So we've done all the eulogies here, but since he was a part of the community, we did. So, you know, so then my brother, Lifeless Dave.
Oh, shit.
He gets up there. He actually spoke well for him. Ginny actually got up and she was, you know, she thought she was going to lose it, but she didn't because she went into manic mode. So she had pictures of Bobby when he was like... the wedding, and she just kept commenting about pictures and time, which, you know, it wasn't very moving, but it was at least, you know, and like she's good with like, she's like, look what he wore. Like she was talking about his fashions, very weird. So I got up there, you know, and remember I told you I might do a little Hitler joke?
Oh, yeah.
Which we saw, Sarah Silverman.
Right.
Okay, so it's not a particularly great joke, but it's a joke that stuck with me. And, you know, the night before this, I was like, I'm not going to do the Hitler joke. It's just, it's Bobby. It's not really appropriate. And then the morning came, I was like, I'm going to do the Hitler joke.
Okay.
So I got up there, and so the joke is this. You're allowed to say it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you remember, it's a short joke. Okay, so... this is what I said. I said, you know, Bobby was a very funny guy, and you know, when he was at his best and I was at my best, we had a good sense of humor. So so I'm going to do something now that might bomb, but he always liked it when I took risks. So here it goes. Okay, so does anybody here remember what Hitler's book was called? So then, you know, there's like, I could tell there's like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And then one Jewish person goes, Mein Kampf, you know, which was the name of the book.
Yeah.
So then the joke is, oh, Mein Kampf, and then you go, which translates to my struggle. And then you go, my struggle, my struggle. Could there be a more Jewish sounding name to Hitler's autobiography?
Mm-hmm.
That's the joke. And it got like, I'd say it got like a 6.5 on the Richter scale of
out of what?
10.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't... It's
actually not bad.
It's not bad. It was nervous. It was like Kirby Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
And Jared was in the front row and he goes, oh, my God! You know?
Fucking Jared.
So then I'm like... Then I said something like, you know, no speech... I was like, no speech of mine is complete until Jared goes, oh, my God! So it was successful. I got some reaction, and then I quickly diffused it by going from Hitler to what a good person Bobby was. I was like, but seriously, folks, you know. And then I gave a pretty good speech, you know. So that was okay. So then you know, then I have days with the family. Basically, it was a long week, you know. But I survived. But then, you know, we kept having like dinners and dinners and dinners. Oh, you have to be there tonight because we're talking about Bobby. I'm like, we talked about him 2 days ago. Okay, so then the last, you know, Saturday night, we have this big dinner again. And Ginny out of the blue goes, I think she might have been drinking. I don't know. She goes, I mean, we're all drinking, but like she just says things. She says, okay, I don't know if I could do this justice. She said, okay. Okay, so it's me, I'm sitting next to Ginny, and then across the table is Paul Taylor.
Oh, the Taylors.
The Taylors. So Paul Taylor and his wife, Stephanie Taylor, are really good friends of the family. In fact, Stephanie used to date my Uncle Bobby. She's kind of like Ginny. They're both loud. Yeah. She's blonde. Ginny's brunette. But they're very similar. So, and Paul Taylor is just, he's a journalist. He's smart, but he likes to be smart, which bothers me. So he often will start giving a speech. I'm like, oh God, the Paul Taylor, you know. So he starts saying really ridiculous things throughout the evening. So he was talking about what makes the marriages work and like what made Bobby and Ginny's marriage. I'm thinking to myself, the only reason their marriage worked is because they never saw each other. You know, like he stayed up all night long in his study. All night long. Like, he would just stay up till 6 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
He would see her, like, maybe 2 hours a day. That's why their marriage worked, you know? And they liked each other, too. But, I mean, they hardly... And Ginny, yeah. Ginny would be the first one to say that the reason she's doing okay is because she had a separate life. They weren't fused at the hip, mm-hmm. you know? So, anyway. So, then Ginny says... She says... What did she say? She said... Paul Taylor says, you know what's really cool about your family? They're all really close. And I'm like... First of all, we're not that close. Yeah. And second of all, your family's pretty close. Like, that was a stupid thing to say, Paul Taylor. and then Ginny goes, you know what? She goes, we are close. But what I'm really proud about is that no one in my family ever got a tattoo. What the fuck is that? Everybody looked up and they're like, that's the one thing that you're proud of? And even Jared goes, oh my God. You know? It was just like, it was one of those sentences just lingers in the air. So I looked at Ginny and I said, Ginny, I have to say something, you know. I don't often comment on things that you say, but I feel like I have to. Okay, I said, Ginny, if I die before you and you're at my funeral, please don't say it to everybody. And Danny never got a tattoo. Like, you know, I don't want that to be like the one shining thing that represents my life. What a weird thing to say, right?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of my family that we never got a tattoo.
Yeah.
And she stood by that. She said she thought it was a... She says, I don't like tattoos. I'm like... So now I really want to get a tattoo, even though I hate pain, you know. So that was a very weird moment.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah.
Very weird moment. And then the next morning I came back. Also weird that she hardly spoke to me the whole week, you know.
Oh, really?
Like, nobody said, you know, great speech. Nobody said, I mean, you know, it was just so weird. I played a lot with the kids, you know. In fact, someone came up to Ginny and they said to her, who pays that guy to play with the kids? And, like, you know, like, they thought I was a babysitter or something. Because, like, I do have this thing with kids. They just start jumping all over me, you know. So,
right.
Which is fine with me because I'd rather be with them than the adults, you know.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time with the kids. And then I played tennis with this local guy named Joe that I befriended. Oh, yeah. You know, he's still alive. He's 70. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have great stories. It's just that it was just a lot of weird family.
Mm-hmm.
That tattoo remark is very, very bizarre. I also learned that, you know, when I did stand up about Ginny, that I learned that I kind of embellished things.
Oh, yeah.
Without... Okay, so my joke with Ginny, I did stand up just twice in my life, and and my big joke was that she called me up very excited a few years ago, and she said, Danny, I got a burial plot for you, and it was on sale. So my joke was like, great, now I have to like lie there in a coffin knowing that my grave is discounted when everybody else in the family has like the best
full
grave.
Price.
Yeah, full price. So, and I thought that that was really true. But what I learned in one of these stupid dinners was that she bought coffins for everybody in the family, and they were all on sale.
Oh, okay.
But what mine is different is that there's everybody else has a space for their spouse, but I don't, because they don't think I'm ever going to have a spouse. So that material could stay in the act.
Oh, yeah.
You know. but I'm still, if I ever do stand up again, I will use, that's probably my best joke, because it's true.
Yeah.
Imagine if your soul goes on and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm lying in this grave and it's from Kmart, you know, like everybody else has the Rolls Royce of.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably be like, well,
Are you thinking cremate?
I'm heading upstairs.
For what?
That's going to
upstairs.
Like let's say there's a heaven.
Oh yeah.
I don't really believe there's a hell. I believe it's all just one place.
Okay.
So I think like.
But do you believe that there is a better section and a worse section, or it's just one?
I think it's all one place.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I hope you're wrong. I don't want to be with like Hitler.
Well, the thing is, okay. So my reason behind believing this,
mm-hmm.
and I grew up believing in heaven, hell, all that.
Mm-hmm.
The older I've gotten, the more I realize, you know, if there is such a thing, if there is an afterlife, and if there is a grand creator,
right?
He created us to be fucked up, and no matter the atrocities we've committed. In a way, when it comes to the afterlife, we're off the hook.
But wait a minute. All right. I have to get into this.
Okay.
All right. So don't – but if you believe that thought, you must also believe that we all have free will, right? Like it's not – everything is not predetermined, right? Like we have choices in life. So if you choose to be a good guy or Hitler
– right.
But shouldn't we be in different sections? I'm just saying. Like
Forget Hitler.
How about John Lennon's murderer?
Here's the thing. You mentioned free will.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about the way I see it.
Yeah.
There's free will, but at the same time, there's still a guide. There's the way that we're designed.
Right.
And that is the guide.
Right.
And there you have choices.
Mm-hmm.
But choices aren't always as simple as, you know.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, it's not like what piece of gum you're going to buy today. It's right. Like who am I going to kill today or are you going to not kill today?
And it's not even as simple as that. It's a lot of stuff that happens in the moment.
Right.
And it's just.
This is
not me condoning.
I know
anything.
If there is one section, I hope it's like a Springsteen concert where if you pay more money, you get the better seat.
Right.
I mean, like I don't want to go to heaven and be like all the way in the back. You know.
Well, see, I feel like it's also at the same time in heaven, you can do whatever you want, so you can go up there, you can kill Hitler again.
But if he's already dead. This is very confusing.
Well, maybe there's like an afterlife beyond the afterlife.
Oh, shit, son. Now there's an afterlife after that. No one's ever thought of that, I don't think. If there's an afterlife, then what's the incentive to be good in the afterlife? Because you know there's an afterlife after that. So, I'm just going to go up to that. Or I can just rape and kill now. It'd be like, oh, there's two afterlives afterwards. You know what I mean?
It'd be like, oh, you get to heaven, you're like, oh, God. You know, it's great to meet you, man. You know, it's
yes, I've heard a lot about you.
I heard a lot about you, and it's so great to finally be free of all that bullshit you made us, you know, you instilled within us back there.
Right.
So freeing to be here now. He's like, no.
This is just the middle.
This is heaven, but there is another place where there is another creator. His name is Kevin.
I'm just the assistant.
Yeah.
Right. He's the real God.
And then you get it to the heaven 2.0, so to speak. You meet Kevin. Right. For the love of fucking God.
Can we not call him Kevin? Can we not call him Kevin?
All right. George.
George.
For the love of God. God just told me
that you're
that I have
guy.
To be here. I have to be good to become here. So tell me, is there a fucking heaven 4.0 at this point? Be like,
right.
Yeah, it just never ends.
Right. Like, I just want to know, when shall I be in my best behavior?
Either never or always. Depending on what you want to do.
But, I mean, I can't always. It's not so black and white. Like,
So I guess however you're feeling in the moment.
Okay. Like, as is.
Right. As is.
As is. Okay. So, all right. But, See, the problem with extremes is that they're very extreme, you know.
I think they exist for a reason though, because it's very easy for the mind to go to both sides without
burning the mind out.
Yeah.
Right. I do like extremes because they make it things very simple. That's why the idea of having two afterlives and like one middle life and then three afterlife is very confusing.
It's like that. It's like that series that never ends.
Right. I want to have if I had a choice, I'd rather have a heaven and hell.
Okay.
Because it just Hitler goes to hell, I go to heaven, everybody's happy.
Right.
Like I don't have to like sit next to Hitler and roast marshmallows with him and do s'mores over a campfire in hell.
Right.
That's just my
Actually, so one of my theories about the afterlife I forgot to mention is that everything that makes us human is gone.
Right.
So like any hate we have for anyone,
right? That, you know what? That is actually probably true. It's one true thing that you've said in the last 10 years. I think I told you I dealt with this guy who's a medium, and it sounds bullshit, but he said crazy things that were accurate. So I believe that this guy is the real deal, and he told me exactly what you just said, that you know he can connect with the people from the that are dead, but they have even my father. He said. My father was a dick. Mm-hmm. And he said, your father is not really a dick anymore. He can feel remorse for what he's done. But he has no... He said he's still working on himself.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still kind of work on yourself on some issues, even though... But you don't feel... You don't have a... You have a spirit, but you don't have... You don't feel... Like you don't do bad things.
Right.
So it's kind of like what you... It's kind of like what you said. You know, if I see my father in heaven, I'll still think that he's a dick.
Right.
And I probably will not want to talk to him.
Right.
Like, if he says, oh, I've been working on myself, son, I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but I appreciate the effort.
Yeah. And plus, you know, if we subscribe to the idea that the afterlife is it, the be all end all, I mean, you're going to be with him.
Not unless I go to the other side.
I mean, you're both going to be up there.
Yeah, but it's a big place. I could use my wings and fly.
Yeah, you could probably like see that one time, traverse.
And if I do see him, I'll take a ball and I'll throw it like a dog. I'll be like, "Go fetch," you know. and then I'll never see him again. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like I might see him at the community meetings,
right?
You know, with all the other people. So to God goes order, you know. It's come to my attention that some people are not throwing garbage in the correct garbage pails that I provided. So if I see any garbage on the grounds of heaven, there will be some punishment.
There will be, dare I say, hell to pay.
And then we'll probably see, like, you know, British Mark flying around, you know, like...
He'll volunteer to pick up the trash.
Then he'll be like, oh, I was just passing through. I was just about to make myself some Cheerios and milk, and I saw some garbage. And, I mean, that could be cool, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I mean, I hope... That it kind of sounds now like a mental hospital, you know. When I was in a mental hospital, we had these stupid meetings in the morning.
Oh yeah,
they were the worst, you know, because then you know that you're stuck in this place with other lunatics. So I hope heaven's not like that, you know.
Yeah, I don't. There's not going to be meetings. I don't think. I truly believe it to be like
I'll do a Zoom
place meeting. Of like completely free.
Yeah, I'll do a Zoom meeting. Like I'll if God wants to.
Yeah,
Zoom with me.
I mean, we could jam to like with John Lennon.
Like, we hey, could
John,
jam.
You wanna play some music with us?
John would be like, you know, everybody that comes up here asks me the same question, you know, and I'm like, people, I'm here, I'm trying to relax.
You know, like, well, you do realize you're John Lennon, right? I mean, like,
yeah, but then he'll be like, you know, I haven't written a song in 1,000 years. You know, it was when I got shot. It just ruined me. I became Billy Joe. Like, just can't write a song.
And I'd be like, you know, you would think that death actually would have inspired some creativity, John. I mean, come on.
You would think. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know. Like, if we, do you think we'd do this podcast in heaven?
I think we'd have better things to do.
Like what?
We'd be getting laid all the time up there.
Really?
I think so.
But we won't have a penis.
Oh, we'll have penises.
We will?
Or at least we'll have the celestial equivalent of a dick.
Like a wing.
And we'll be... unburdened by the shit that we deal with every day that keeps us from getting laid.
But what, down here. What are we inserting our manhood into?
The celestial
vagina.
Vagina, yeah.
The celestial vagina. God, I hope that's true. Because we're not getting enough play, you know.
We could just, this could be the long drought before.
Before like, we get up before there. We populate China.
Oh my God.
We're going to go up to heaven and impregnate everybody.
We're going
to
get so much pussy up there.
God will be like, you're the guy some ass is, old boy. You guys are bent up. Here's the way to the celestial vagina. And then there's like, and then we have all these vaginas just flying around.
Oh, yeah.
Would you, what would be your, okay, so you go into the room with the celestial vaginas. And you know, so which one do you choose first? Like,
I mean, there are women.
Yeah.
Attached to those vaginas.
Yeah, but see, right, but it's confusing because they're we don't have bodies, so
oh, I never can, I can I thought that we have like bodies, in a sense that like we still see bodies, but it's sort of like it's
I hope
not
so.
Solid
because if I'm having sex without a this will be the ultimate joke from God. You'd be like, well, you could have all sex that you want, but we don't have a body,
right?
That would be like, oh, just like here we have the body. We just don't have the woman.
I mean, I feel like heaven would be pretty boring if, like, you look around, you're not able to see anything because nothing takes form.
I know.
So there has to be some sort of form.
What's really tricky is, like, if we go up there and everybody has their own interpretation of things, so and you don't know what's real and what's not because...
Right. Oh, excuse me.
That was gross. I mean, like... like, there's no burps in heaven, you know, because you don't really have a body.
Right.
You can't fart, you know. So what what happens, like we, you don't, what, here's the scary part. Like, what if everything that we see in this world is just our interpretation? And it's like right now, we're sitting in the same room, we're doing the same podcast, we kind of know what's going on. Like, we're kind of living the same reality right now. We think.
Right.
Because, and there's evidence, like, we can listen to this
stupid podcast. Yeah, man, because, I mean, technically, all we are each experiencing right now are our brains interpreting the countless amounts of stimuli that it's being exposed to right now.
Right, but we're both experiencing it together. We have a podcast, so we can, like, listen to the stupid podcast after, so we know that we did something together. So there's some evidence that we're experiencing reality at the same time.
Right.
But if you go up to that place, who knows, like, if we're experiencing the same thing. Like, maybe your version of heaven is different from mine. Like, maybe you want to hang out and, you know, ride roller coasters all day long, you know? And I just want to, like, be in a room and jerk off, you know? So, like, what if we have, like, very different...
Well, I mean, like, it's... either one's possible. I mean...
I know.
The afterlife is, in my opinion, at least, infinite.
Right. But it would get lonely if I'm experiencing things very differently from you, and then...
Well, it'd definitely be really lonely if you go up to heaven. The best thing you can do is jerk off in a room.
I'm like, you know, God says you could have any celestial vagina you want. I'll be like, I'll choose my celestial hand. Thank you very much. Like, I know what I like, you know? Like, I can watch my own porn.
Oh, yeah. Heavenly porn.
Heavenly porn.
Celestial porn.
Yeah. I'll be really sad if I choose, like, God gives me the best porn available. I'm going to go for the usual porn. A little Jewish woman goes to a massage parlor. Hey, God, do you have any, like, Jewish masseuse porn? God, how did we get here, man?
Jewish masseuse porn, is that a thing?
Well, yeah.
Do they, like, does like, the person go and get the massage, but instead of getting massaged, they just get scolded the whole time?
Oh, they make you feel guilty, and they charge you a lot of money. Well, I see. Here's the thing. I like, you know, massage porn because
actually, I kind of like it too. Actually,
yeah, you know, because it feels not as dirty. You know, it's like, but it's not as dirty as a gangbang. You know, and the woman, she's getting paid for it. You know, so but Jewish massage porn is different because. Because, yeah, you know, the joke about Jewish – I can say this as a Jewish person – is that women, Jewish women, are usually – their stereotype is that they don't give a lot during sex. They just expect to receive and lie there, and then they go and
– Is that true?
I that's the stereotype. I don't know if that's really true. I haven't fucked every Jewish woman.
You never asked your brother about
it? My brother hasn't fucked every Jewish woman in the world either.
His wife's not Jewish?
Oh, she's Jewish. But I'm just saying, like, you'd have to fuck a lot of Jewish women to know if this...
Okay.
Like, even if his wife, you know, whether she's a giver or not, she's not the whole Jewish population.
Right. But at least...
Thank God.
But at the very least, even if, like, if one Jewish woman defied the stereotype, then you know that it's a stereotype that's not necessarily true. Because if there's...
Right.
Because then if there's you would have, one, there's
right.
more.
Right. I'm imagining that she's not a huge giver, but I'll probably never know.
Right.
And let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, oh God, I had this thing with her too last week. My lifeless Dave, he leaves his glasses. He has these special subscription glasses.
Prescription?
They're like half... sunglasses, half prescription.
Oh, yeah.
They're like the huge Stevie Wonder glasses, you know? So he leaves them. Oh, my God, dude. First of all, I had to drive for them to the restaurant one night in their car. I was almost made it. Ginny was so preferable to go in her car. And she goes, oh, no, you go with them. You go with the Seagulls. I'm like, no, not the Seagulls. 45 minutes, they're just bickering, like, horrendous. Like, I came in. I'm not even exaggerating. They're so dysfunctional because they're all there. My brother and his wife and their daughter, who's...
the 20-something-year-old?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, God. Yeah. She was, I mean, and then, and, you know, and like separately, they're sort of okay, but together as a group, it's hell. And then, anyway, so, so then they leave, and I'm like, okay, they're gone. I get a call from his wife. The next day, she goes, Danny, David left his glasses. So now, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. I have to find a UPS place. I have to go to Ginny's house. I have to get the glasses. And then I have to drive 45 minutes to... Because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I go to UPS and they finally... I spent $71 and she paid it back to me.
Good.
But they arrived broken. Like, they were wrapped in rat and, you know... Uh-huh. And maybe I should have put him in a box. I don't know. I thought I saw the guy put him in a box.
It'd be great if, like, you just took a bunch of paper towels, and taped it up, and just said.
I think that's the way it went. I think it was just like in Saran wrap with like a little scotch tape. But I could have sworn in my defense that I saw the guy. I think I told the guy to put it in a box, and I think maybe I don't know what happened. Like
it still could have been broken on the if they didn't put like any padding in the box.
But Ginny did find like little wrapping like right. bubble. I don't know.
Shit happens. Like, there's
some... I know. So then she says. So the next day I check on it. By the way, she didn't. She goes, I'll Venmo you the money. I'm like, okay, of course. I don't hear anything about the money for, and I'm like, you know, $71 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the next day I'm like, she forgot. And she's about to go to Israel and she's going to forget to pay me. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't pay me the $71, I want money to buy ice cream.
Yeah.
So then I do this. I send her, I go, let me know if they arrive. They said they should arrive by noon. I think maybe this will trigger.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh yeah, they arrived. I'm like, let me know if you have any trouble with the Venmo.
Yes.
And then she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. But and then
did she send it?
Well, she did.
Okay.
But then she sends me a picture of the arrival of the sunglasses, and they're broken. And she goes, I think I could crazy glue them together. I'm like, oh, Jesus. There's always something, man. There's always something. The reason he forgot them in the first place is because they were bickering with each other so much. You can't think with those people. So anyway, that was another incident that happened.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't think she's great. I'm not sure if she's great in bed or not, you know.
Right.
I mean, I could ask her, you know. They've also been married for a while, so I'm assuming that... So anyway, I'm just saying, you have to fuck a lot of Jewish women to know if they're all givers or not. But
I've only fucked one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was all right. She was 18, I was 23, and I think...
Right, yeah.
When you're that young, it's like
I hear you
about that.
Yeah, what the stereotype is a a 40 to 50 year old Jewish woman who's married, and I think the joke is that they don't really give a lot of blowjobs, and like a blowjob is very far. Like the only time they'll give you a blowjob is if they're actually vacuuming the floor and there's something on the ground, and then they see your genitals, and they're like, oh, since I'm down here.
I don't know if the 18 year old gave me one or not.
Well, it's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
I actually think that the best sex I ever had didn't really involve a blowjob. You know what I mean? To me, a blowjob, that's not that important. You know?
I think the best blowjobs I've gotten when I was like asleep and like, let's say like I'd be sleeping on my side and then like my girlfriend.
Like a morning? Like a morning?
Well, like in the middle of the night, she would like roll me onto my back.
Mm.
And then.
Oh, like, yeah. Like half super. Right. Well, that's nice because that's unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. Like usually, I have to really like that. That I don't think that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I
don't think a woman actually out of her own like.
This was during my peak, mind you, and.
Right. So okay, so walk me through this. So you're falling. You've had sex and you've fallen asleep.
I don't even know if we may have not necessarily had sex, but like, I'm sleeping, and I think I just remember like. One time specifically,
yeah,
like I'm sleeping on my side. All of a sudden, I like feel her kind of like
wow
come up against me.
Wow, that's so she was halfway awake and she decided to do this.
Oh yeah,
you didn't like force her or anything. Nope. That's nice. I like sex that's not forced like that. You know.
Yeah, I really wouldn't mind having that again. And it's a shame, you know.
Well, you have to be able to. What you have to do is you have to be in the same bed with the same woman.
Right,
that would help.
Yeah, well, she wound up. I researched her like many years later, and apparently, like she was in a really weird situation where she was arrested for not paying child support.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is years after.
This is years later.
So you dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, maybe that's why she has trouble sleeping, and maybe that's why she gives blowjobs to people that, you know.
Maybe.
Like, sometimes insomnia works in your favor, you know?
It's possible.
I don't think that's ever happened to me, and I've lived for a while now, you know?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, let's see. let me throw you some topics.
Let's get some topics.
All right. So, this is what I wrote down. I said, pancakes the size of Texas. This morning I had pancakes.
Oh, the size of Texas?
The size of Texas, yeah, because I had to fast last night.
Oh, right.
Because I did blood work this morning.
Oh, right.
So I get my blood drawn from this stupid old lady, and she's like all happy, and she's like singing songs while she's drawing my blood, you know? And she goes to me, since you fasted last night, you can go and get pancakes now. What a stupid thing to say. So, of course, now I'm thinking about pancakes, because she's talking about pancakes. And the whole purpose of the blood thing is to lower my cholesterol so I don't eat crappy food. But as she's drawing my blood, she's still telling me to eat pancakes. So, of course, what's the first thing that I do? I go eat pancakes.
What diner did you go to?
PJ Pancakes and Nassau Street here.
Oh, yeah?
And the pancakes. So, you know, I got, you know, three scrambled eggs and toast and...
But no bacon, apparently.
No bacon, apparently.
But you got toast with pancakes?
Yeah, I went carb crazy. And the pancakes...
Did you get, like, home fries or... Hash browns?
Yeah, like shredded.
Yeah.
Very good. But the size of the pancakes were enormous. Like, that would have been enough for a village. Ugh. There were like three of them. And as I'm eating them, like, this is going to make me so sick. But I finished it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because when I started something, you know.
Gotta finish it.
I gotta finish it. So I've been sick all day. I mean, the pancakes were like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I forced myself now to eat dinner. But I, you know, I went to the gym. I tried to get rid of the. So anyway, so that was one topic. That's what I care about.
You got sick from the pancakes?
Well, yeah, because they were huge. And the scrambled eggs and the hash browns.
Oh.
I must have had like, you know, like 4 million calories like during that dinner. Breakfast. But and that was weird too, because I was alone, you know. And
I went to the diner last week for dinner after work one day.
That bacon?
The day before 4th of July. Yeah. I had bacon.
Yeah.
I that was actually when I was younger, that was like one of the things I swore I would never do is like eat by myself in a restaurant, and I've gotten so used to it at this point.
But now it's not so bad because you have your phone with you, so you can look at your phone. You don't look like a loser.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like back then, back in the old days,
right,
if you went to a diner by yourself, you were really alone. Like,
right.
You were just You had nothing, unless you wrote a book, but who reads?
Right. I should start again, but, you know.
I tell myself that I should read more, and I never do.
Yeah, save me here.
Because, you know, I'm very busy. You know. All right, so pancakes. Stephanie from Bumble, I mentioned her already. Hitler joke.
Did you?
Yeah, I said that she keeps asking me questions. That she doesn't follow up.
Oh, that's right. You just did mention the name.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Yeah.
From everybody knows her, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sunscreen didn't work. This is what I'm searching. I went to the beach and I put sunscreen on and I'm burnt like very much. So the sunscreen didn't work.
Oh, that's, you don't look too burnt.
No,
to me,
dude, but my back, it looks like I've been lacerated like 30 whips from.
Damn.
Yeah, it's bad.
Damn.
Yeah, and I feel it. I feel burnt.
Oh, damn.
I'm glad it's making an impression on you. But, you know, I put the fucking sunscreen on. I even made the kids, like, put it on my back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. All right. So then, kids and lakes. Swimming with kids and lakes. Oh, it feels unnecessary. That's all I wrote. It feels unnecessary. Okay. So,
what feels unnecessary?
Well, in life, what bothers me about life is that sometimes things are like when I mentioned that, you know, Gaber, when he sees me, he honks the horn.
Oh, right.
It's so unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary.
Like, he could just say, and it startles me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's loud. like, and I'm like right there. Like, he could just roll down. He doesn't even just open the door. Hi, Danny. And Sid is like, honk, honk.
Fucking asshole.
It's really annoying. And he does it every, or I'll be driving down the street, like driving. And he'll be like, who honks their horn?
Yeah.
That's unnecessary.
Very unnecessary.
Other things that are unnecessary are, I mean, I just don't like it when things do unnecessary things, you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of one right now, but.
Right.
If we ever do a podcast, it'd be nice to have these things.
Right. Well thought out.
Fleshed out.
Written down, you know.
All right, so we'll get back to that. Oh, Caitlin. Oh, by the way, I saw a concert up there. I saw the do you know the band The Counting Crows?
I've heard of them.
Right, so they're not great.
I know they were like big in the 90s.
Right. So they had a first record that was very big. And it was really weird. It was a time where everybody was named Sheryl Crow, Counting Crows, or the Black Crows.
Oh, right. So Crows were good.
Yeah, I'm much better than the Counting Crows.
Yeah.
So, okay, so my family, like Jared, all those people, they're like, oh, we, you know, this one place in Saratoga where bands play. I saw Springsteen there in 84.
Oh, okay,
it's cool. Like a nice size place.
Outdoors or?
It's both. Mm. There's lawn seats for the people that can't afford any tickets. But, of course, I got great. So, anyway, so I was like, I'm not going to go. The Counting Crows is kind of annoying. They have like 5 good songs. And the guy has kind of a whiny voice. You know that song, Mr. Jones? So they have 3 hits. Round Here, which was definitely a good song. You'll probably know it if you heard it. Mr. Jones, Rain King. They're all, okay, they're all from the same record, by the way.
Okay.
And then they have like 10 other records. Nobody gives a shit, you know? But they're very Americana, you know? I ended up going to the concert, even though I told my family, I'm not going to go. And so they all got tickets, and then they're giving me a hard time. Danny, you love concerts. Why don't you want to go? I'm like, the guy's kind of whiny. So then the morning of the show, I look up the thing. I see third row is open.
Yeah.
And it's like $80. All right, I'll go. And there's nothing to do there anyway.
Yeah.
So it went, and the good thing was I didn't. So everybody else in my family is on section D, and I'm on the other side alone.
Nice.
that was already a victory, you know? And so I was close to the stage. It was weird too because, you know, the set list. Nowadays, you can look at the set list.
Okay.
So you know what they played last night or the night before. And it's kind of cool because you see any variations. So they usually start with this song, Round Here, which is their best song by far. They actually played on SNL when the album came out in the 90s. And I will say it's probably the best performance of any song on SNL ever.
I'll sample their stuff after the episode, that way I get an idea.
Yeah, that one song is it's by far their best song, and it's the first song on the first record. So I look at the set list. I'm like, oh man, they start with that. Like, I'm gonna want to leave. Like like at 8:10, I'm gonna be done. So that particular night that I went, they actually did not start with that, which is a good thing. So at least I had something to look forward to. They played it like an hour in.
Oh, okay.
And you know, it was fine. I mean, most of the songs are kind of average, and then they have some good stuff. They're a strange band, because usually if I like a band, I like them a lot or I don't like them at all. Mm-hmm. The Counting Crows, I could take relief, you know.
Right.
But I was very close. I could see all the interplay with the guitar, and you know, it was interesting. I was literally four rows to the band, so that's cool. Even with an average band, it's cool to be close, you know. Yeah. So and for some reason, their songs. You know what's weird about being upstate New York? It's very.
It fits like the environment.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like. I thought it's like first blood, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this little area. Everybody there is very simple.
Yeah,
they're all like plumbers or something.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
They make a lot of money. They can.
They all look like they're plumbers. Like I felt very attractive, but, you know, when I was just walking around Saratoga, and you know, it's very different from. It's probably closer to where you live. That sort of.
Oh, like Red Hill or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know,
more
a
like
beer.
Farmington or?
It just feels like a small town America. Beer, like have a beer at the end of the day after your plumbing job.
Hell
listen
yeah.
To some Tom Petty.
Okay, no knocking Tom Petty.
No, of course not. I mean, but Tom Petty sounds a lot better there than in New Jersey. You know what I mean? Like, Tom Petty sounds great in a small town.
Or
John Mellencamp or any Springsteen, probably like that kind of music just fits a small town more than like a street in Brooklyn, you know. So that night, Counting Crows sounded really good because it just fits that, you know, Steve Miller Band. They all those kinds of Dave Matthews is playing there this week.
Yeah,
you know, it's a very so I'm glad I went. It was kind of fun.
That's good.
Apparently,
Blur, apparently they had a performance over the weekend that, like, they totally killed that.
Really?
I don't know if it was Glastonbury or if that's still going on, but they had, like, it might have been, like, their first, because they're releasing their first album, like, a decade.
Really?
And apparently it's supposed to be really good.
Huh. I don't know. They're British, right?
They're big in the, back in the 90s during pop.
British Mar probably likes them.
Yeah.
But I don't know any Blur song. Like, I don't, beats me.
Yeah, I think,
Like I know, I think that one big hit in the '90s.
Yeah, I heard like a few. Like I have a few of their albums, but
yeah, I think the guy's probably like kind of flamboyant, sort of like
him. Actually, Damon, I don't know if he was. Like,
I
haven't heard too much about him.
Yeah, but very very like British,
yeah.
Like Cockney even sounding voice. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
We don't want to offend the Cockneys.
So I think they and Oasis were like the big ones that time in England.
Yeah, the guy from Oasis is actually playing tonight or tomorrow. Like one of not.
Oh F. Yeah, maybe Liam.
Noel and his Flying Birds.
Oh yeah.
Which whatever, I you know whatever. There's a few. I have some concerts lined up. When is your Metallica show?
That's the first weekend of August. I got the ticket from StubHub. I still haven't actually received the actual ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Right. But yeah. But you will. Cause
yeah.
They're legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I got a few lined up too. I did something stupid. I'm an idiot. I bought two tickets for the same night, like two different shows.
Also, sort of like a similar to the two dates in one night TV trope, whereas you got two concerts in one night.
What's the two dates in one night?
It's when like the main character.
Oh yeah, sets yeah, up two dates. Yeah, yeah, like on Three's Company.
Yeah,
like, he's got you right. It's a bit. Yeah, I don't know what happened. So I'm an idiot. So this one, and they're very far away from each other. There's no, I cannot see both in one night. One of them. So this guy John Eddy that I did a podcast with, his guitar player, and he hasn't played around. You know, he's not a must see, but he's cool, and he hasn't played around in 3 years. So he's doing the Stone Pony, which is cool.
Okay.
So I'll go to the beach. So he did a big one for August 5th, and then there was a lot of demand. It sold out. So he added August 6th. I'm like, so Danny goes, oh, cool, another night. So I get a ticket, not realizing I bought a ticket for something else a week before that night.
Metallica?
No, I'm not going to Metallica.
Yeah.
Another guy named Paul Thorne, which is, he's great. So I'll probably just, you know, I'll eat it. I'll eat $45.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, I mean, I'm rich.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that's pretty stupid, right? To buy.
Well, it could be a thing where, like, you saw it right away and it.
I totally forgot. You completely forgot. Yeah, I totally forgot. But yeah. There's this thing called the calendar. that I should check, you know, periodically. So anyway, so one of them I'm gonna miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's fun to do stupid things sometimes. You know, it just makes you feel alive.
Sure.
And then I have gym class sex remark. Covered that. So you know, when I said that the class was sexy and there was a 15-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, you know, so those are my topics, man.
Yeah.
Anything new with you?
So I did have a topic that
was. Oh no, we're at the end of the list.
Last like 5 minutes.
Alright, wait, so should we save it for another episode?
Oh wait, did we talk about the last 10 years thing?
We mentioned it, but we didn't get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, but we should probably do a whole thing about that.
Yeah, let's do another episode.
So let's tease it. So you sent me a text the other day, and I was like, so Ryan wants to talk about the last 10 years as a topic, and I'm like, I can't remember the last 10 years at all. Like, I would need to. So if you do it numerically, I got nothing.
Right.
But you're apparently like Rain Man, and yeah. If I say 2014, you know exactly what happened in 2014.
Oh yeah, I do. At least in terms of my own life, that is.
Well, that's good, because that's you could only speak for yourself.
Right. Well, a lot of people, they like to keep track of like history and all that. And I remember, actually not too much. I remember like the Black Lives Matter
thing
happening like for the first time back in 2014.
Really?
But other than that, in terms of like the outside world, I don't remember.
Right. But we're, you know.
I think there was like an Ebola outbreak at one point too, where they. Toward the end of the year, where they almost were afraid it was going to like
take over the world.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Which happened later with COVID.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Right. Well, so you know what? We'll do 10 years, but I'm gonna have to like think about it.
Okay,
you're gonna make me think.
Okay,
because I don't remember. If you give me a number, I got.
Yeah, but we don't have to necessarily go by like years. I'm just thinking about like
the milestones of the last 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, I'm afraid to delve into that because I think what if the conclusion is that now we're worse off than we were 10 years ago? You know what I mean? Then I'll just end up going to the Gothel's Bridge.
I mean, actually, I don't think that for myself though. I think that may be why I brought it up.
Right, like,
what made me think of it at first?
Dare I say that you have experienced some growth in the last 10 years?
Excuse me. It's possible.
Well, I think you're more comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I think I've had ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs and ups.
Yeah.
And downs. Like right now, it's just a weird time. You know, it's always weird. There's never a time when you're like, oh, my life isn't weird. It's always weird. You know,
mm-hmm.
Even when it's not weird, it's weird because it's not because life is all about time. You know, and if you're not experiencing time. Then either you feel like you're missing out on something or you feel like you're living, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the only two possibilities.
Right.
So right now, I'm not sure if we're missing out or if we're living. You know what I mean?
And I think like I've realized like this actually brings up another thing I thought about fairly recently. You know, time is not a commodity like money. Or anything that you can...
It's not physical.
You can't hold on to it.
Right.
And money... Here's the thing. Money... Let's see if I... Well, you know, let's delve into this in the next episode.
All right. Yeah.
I think I have a profound point with this.
All right. Stuff. So I'm going to write that down. Time.
Yeah, time.
Time.
Time is not tangible.
Time is not tangible. Okay. What are we going to name this episode?
You actually had a... You came up with something at one point.
I know, but God knows what that was. That's probably in the minute 20.
It really probably is. It was. I think it was pretty early on.
Yeah, we could just call it... Oh, we didn't talk about you thinking that you're part of the tribe. Tribe.
Oh, that's the up. Oh, we got another. Next episode.
No, I gotta write that down.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Okay. In closing, I think whatever we learned, because you know, right now British Mark is thinking, I just listened to another hour, and I don't know if I'm a smarter person for it or a dumber person for it.
Well, my take on that is whether or not, if you learn something. Something's going to happen that's going to challenge that and make you feel stupid again. Whereas if you feel even dumber from listening,
right.
Something's going to come along that's going to make you feel smarter. It's all going to even out.
It's all cyclical. Well, keep chasing the sun.
Bye.